Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, reading today from the Free Grace Broadcaster of Winter 2020. The topic this time around is heaven. And by the way, you can order this to come to your house. It's totally free. Chapel@mountzion.org is the email that you would use to send them a note that you would like to receive this. You give them your address. I'm sure they would like an offering now and then, but no one requires it. So check that out. You'll have a quarterly given to you freely at your door every month, every 3 months, of course. And the topic will change. And inside of that booklet will be all kinds of preachers that you well know, like Charles Spurgeon this time around, and J.C. Ryle, and Jonathan Edwards that we read today. And others. John Bunyan is actually in this quarterly too. Talking about heaven, let's go to Jonathan Edwards, who lived from 1703 to 1758. He's an American congregational preacher, theologian. I'm sure you've heard of Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Well, that's not the name of this one. This one is about heaven, a world of love. His text is 1 Corinthians 13:8. Charity never faileth. The apostle speaks in the text of a state of the church when it is perfect in heaven, and therefore a state in which the Holy Spirit shall be more perfectly and abundantly given to the church than it is now on earth. But the way in which it shall be given, when it is so abundantly poured forth, will be in that great fruit of the Spirit, holy and divine love, in the hearts of all the blessed inhabitants of that world. And so that the heavenly state of the church is a state that is distinguished from its earthly state, as it is that state which God has designed especially for such a communication of his Holy Spirit, and in which it shall be given perfectly, whereas in the present state of the church it's given with great imperfection. It is also a state in which this holy love shall be, as it were, the only gift or fruit of the Spirit, as being the most perfect and glorious of all, and which, being brought to perfection, renders all other gifts that God used to bestow on his church on earth needless. And that we may the better see how heaven is thus a world of holy love, I would consider the following. First, the cause and fountain of love in heaven. Here I remark that the God of love himself dwells in heaven. Heaven is the palace or presence chamber of the High and Holy One, whose name is love, and who is both the cause and source of all holy love. God, considered with respect to his essence, is everywhere. He fills both heaven and earth. Yet he is said in some respects to be more especially in some places than in others. He is said of old to dwell in the land of Israel above all other lands, and in Jerusalem above all the other cities of that land, and in the temple above all other buildings in the city, and in the Holy of Holies above all other apartments of the temple, and on the mercy seat over the Ark of the Covenant above all other places in the Holy of Holies. But heaven is his dwelling place above all other places in the universe, and all those places in which he was said to dwell of old were but symbols of this. Heaven is a part of creation that God has built to be the place of his glorious presence, and it is his abode forever. Here will he dwell and gloriously manifest himself to all eternity. This renders heaven a world of love, for God is the fountain of love, as the sun is the fountain of light. Therefore, the glorious presence of God in heaven fills heaven with love, as the sun, placed amid the visible heavens in a clear day, fills the world with light. The apostle tells us that God is love. Therefore, seeing he is an infinite being, it follows that he is an infinite fountain of love. Seeing he is all-sufficient being, it follows that he is a full and overflowing, inexhaustible fountain of love, and in that he is an unchangeable and eternal being. He is an unchangeable and eternal fountain of love. There, even in heaven, dwells the God from whom every stream of holy love, yea, every drop that is or ever was, proceeds. There dwells God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, united as one in infinitely dear, incomprehensible, mutual, and eternal love. There dwells God the Father, who is the Father of mercies, and so the Father of love, who so loved the world as to give his only begotten Son to die for it. And there dwells Christ, the Lamb of God, the Prince of Peace and of Love, who so loved the world that he shed his blood and poured out his soul unto death for men. And there dwells Christ in both his natures, the human and the divine, sitting on the same throne with the Father. And there dwells the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of divine love, in whom the very essence of God, as it were, flows out and is breathed forth in love, and by whose immediate influence all holy love is shed abroad in the hearts of all the saints on earth and in heaven. There, in heaven, this infinite fountain of love, this eternal three in one, is set open without any obstacle to hinder access to it as it flows forever. There, this glorious God is manifested and shines forth in full glory in beams of love. And there, this glorious fountain forever flows forth in streams, yea, in rivers of love and delight. These rivers swell, as it were, to an ocean of love in which the souls of the ransomed may bathe with the sweetest enjoyment, and their hearts, as it were, be deluged with love. To the objects of love that it contains, again, I would consider heaven regarding the objects of love that it contains, and I would observe these three things. Number one, there are none but lovely objects in heaven. No odious, unlovely, or polluted person or thing is seen to be there. There's nothing there that is wicked or unholy. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination. There is nothing that is deformed with any natural or moral deformity. But everything is beautiful to behold, amiable and excellent in itself. The God that dwells and gloriously manifests himself there is infinitely lovely, gloriously lovely as a heavenly Father, a divine Redeemer, and a holy Sanctifier. All the persons that belong to the blessed society of heaven are lovely. The Father of the family is lovely. So are all his children. The head of the body is lovely, and so are all the members. Among the angels there are none that are unlovely, for they are all holy. No evil angels are allowed to infest heaven as they do this world, but they are kept forever at a distance by that great gulf that is between them and the glorious world of love. Among all the company of the saints there are no unlovely persons. There are no false professors or hypocrites there. None pretend to be saints, and none are of an unchristian and hateful spirit or behavior, as is often the case in this world. None whose gold has not been purified from its dross. None who are not lovely in themselves and to others. There is no one object there to give offense, or at any time to give occasion for any passion or emotion of hatred or dislike. But every object there shall forever draw forth love. And not only shall all objects in heaven be lovely, but they shall be perfectly lovely. There are many things in this world that in general are lovely, but are not perfectly free from that which is the contrary. There are spots on the sun, so there are many men that are most amiable and worthy to be loved, yet who are not without some things that are disagreeable and unlovely. Often there is in good men some defect of temper, character, or conduct that mars the excellence of what otherwise would seem most amiable. Even the very best of men are on earth imperfect. But it is not so in heaven. There shall be no pollution, deformity, unamiable defect of any kind seen in any person or thing. Everyone shall be perfectly pure and perfectly lovely in heaven. That blessed world shall be perfectly bright without any darkness, perfectly fair without any spot, perfectly clear without any cloud. No moral or natural defect shall ever enter there. Nothing will be seen that is sinful, weak, or foolish. Nothing of which the nature or aspect is coarse or displeasing, or that can offend the most refined taste or the most delicate eye. No string shall there vibrate out of tune to cause any jar in the harmony of the music of heaven. No note be such as to make discord in the anthems of saints and angels. The great God who so fully manifests himself there is perfect with an absolute and infinite perfection. The Son of God, who is the brightness of the Father's glory, appears there in the fullness of his glory, without that garb of outward lowliness in which he appeared in this world. The Holy Ghost shall there be poured forth with perfect richness and sweetness, as a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And every member of that holy and blessed society shall be without any stain of sin, imperfection, weakness, imprudence, or blemish of any kind. The whole church, ransomed and purified, shall there be presented to Christ as a bride, clothed in fine linen, clean and white, without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. And third, in heaven there shall be all those objects that the saints have set their hearts upon, and which they have loved above all things while in this world. There they will find those things that appeared most lovely to them while they dwelt on earth, the things that met the approbation of their judgments, captivated their affections, drew away their souls from the most dear and pleasant of earthly objects. There they will find those things that were their delight here below, on which they rejoiced to meditate, and with the sweet contemplation of which their minds were often entertained. And there, too, will be the things that they chose for their portion, and that were so dear to them, that they were ready for the sake of them to undergo the severest sufferings, to forsake even father, mother, kindred, friends, wife, children, and life itself. All the truly great and good, all the pure, holy, and excellent from this world, and it may be from every part of the universe, are constantly tending toward heaven. As the streams tend to the oceans, so all these are tending to the great ocean of infinite purity and bliss. The progress of time does but bear them on to its blessedness, and us, if we are holy, to be united to them there. Every gem that death rudely tears away from us here is a glorious jewel forever shining there. Every Christian friend who goes before us from this world is a ransomed spirit waiting to welcome us in heaven. There will be the infant of days that we have lost below, through grace to be found above. There the Christian father, mother, wife, child, and friend, with whom we shall renew the holy fellowship of the saints that was interrupted by death here, but shall be commenced again in the upper sanctuary, and then shall never end. There we shall have company with the patriarchs, fathers, and saints of the Old and New Testaments, and those of whom the world was not worthy, with whom on earth we were only conversant by faith. And there, above all, we shall enjoy and dwell with God the Father, whom we have loved with all our hearts on earth, and with Jesus Christ, our beloved Savior, who has always been to us the chief among 10,000s, and altogether lovely, and with the Holy Ghost, our sanctifier, guide, and comforter. And we shall be filled with all the fullness of the Godhead forever. And such being the objects of love in heaven, I pass now to its subjects, the hearts in which it dwells. In every heart in heaven, love dwells and reigns. The heart of God is the original seat or subject of love. Divine love is in him, not as in a subject that receives it from another, but as in its original seat, where it is of itself. The love of God the Father flows out toward Christ the head and to all the members through him in whom they were beloved before the foundation of the world, and in whom the Father's love was expressed toward them in time by his death and sufferings, as it now is fully manifested in heaven. The saints and angels are secondarily the subjects of holy love, not as those in whom it is as an original seat, as light is in the sun, but as it is in the planets, which shine only by reflected light. And the light of their love is reflected in the first place, and chiefly back to its great source. As God has given the saints and angels love, so their love is chiefly exercised towards God, its fountain, as is most reasonable. They all love God with a supreme love. There is no enemy of God in heaven, but all as his children love him as their father. They are all united with one mind to breathe forth their whole souls in love to God, their eternal Father, and to Jesus Christ, their common Redeemer, head, and friend. Christ loves all his saints in heaven. His love flows out to his whole church there and to every individual member of it, and they all, with one heart and one soul, unite in love to their common Redeemer. Every heart is wedded to this holy and spiritual husband, and all rejoice in him while the angels join them in their love. And the angels and saints all love each other. All the members of the glorious society of heaven are sincerely united. Every soul goes out in love to every other. And among all the blessed inhabitants, love is mutual, full, and eternal. That's from Heaven, A World of Love by Jonathan Edwards. Well, they shall see his face. That's the big deal, right? We shall know him, we shall love him, be loved of him. What a wonderful hope we have. Do hope that you'll be looking around the website for the other great men of God that we have there. Do look also while you're there at the North Korea audios and the various Bible studies that are there. Click on books. I am not going to be at Facebook, at least for the time being, so I'm going to take that out of my daily recitation to you. Also, the blog, which, as I always tell you, is at criesfromamongus.com, is not there anymore. The blog has been moved right here to Sermon Audio. Well, there's been a blog here all along, but some time ago I just transferred this blog over to my own blog site, and that's not necessary anymore. So you can read any blog that you want to read right here at Sermon Audio. Just click on blog. And then for the time being, YouTube, type in Bob from Hackberry House, and of course the Zoom meetings that we talk about too. We'll talk about that later. Excuse me. It's good to be with you again, and I hope that you'll come back tomorrow. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we will talk real soon. Bye-bye.